Good morning.
Today's Bible reading will be taken from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 15. And we'll be reading from verses 3 to 11.
1 Corinthians.
That's 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 3 to 11. It reads, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remains to the present. But some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, for I am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace towards me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was given, but by the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe."
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be here with you all. Run out of seats, I believe, today. So we give thanks to God for that. It's wonderful. What a blessing to be here to see so many children, so many young people, families, people from all cultures. But we are united under the umbrella of God. And what a blessing it is to be a part of His kingdom. We live in a community, a society that today they talk about the Easter. Brother Gary touched on it this morning. Tradition, human tradition. We base our teaching on the Word of God. So the things that we do, the things that we practice, the things that we do come from the Word of God. And I want to encourage you. As I said in previous lessons, I want to do a theme through the year based upon building. So each time I get an opportunity to speak, I want to talk about building. But I want to talk about today building our life in a real incredible way. Let me draw your attention to this. Now, I want to encourage anybody in this room who has not given their life to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to seriously look at that today. Today. That is the seriousness of this message. That is the importance of this message. You see, when you go right back into the beginning of time when God created this amazing world that we live in, we see Him place man on His world, on His earth, that He has created to feed off His food, to breathe in His air, and to partake in all the blessings that He had bestowed upon mankind. And we see how Adam and Eve had committed a sin, and that sin changed everything. What Adam and Eve did is they exercised their freedom of choice. God gives you the same freedom of choice today. And you can exercise that freedom of choice in any way that you wish. And Adam and Eve had that same choice, and they was told, you can either eat of the forbidden tree or you can leave the forbidden tree. But if you eat of the forbidden tree, you will die. But the devil comes along with one word and says, you will surely not die if you eat of the forbidden tree. And so Adam and Eve exercised their right of choice. They partook of a tree that they should not have partaken of. But that freedom was there to do it, and they took it, and because of that, they were thrown and cast out of the garden, out of the presence of God. And back in Genesis 3, our great God says that there's going to be a battle. There's going to be two conflicts coming together, and one is going to crush the other. And we see how he was referring to the Son of God, who was going to come to this earth and was going to deal with sin once and for all. And the world today, they're celebrating, listen, every Lord's Day, we come together to break bread and to partake of these emblems to remember our Saviour who saved our life, who gave us that deliverance every Sunday. And we come and partake according to the Scripture, not according to man, according to the Word of God. When we read in the passage Bradley read from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 says, "For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." I just referred to the fact that way back in Genesis, our great God said this would happen. He said, "I will redeem my people. I will overcome sin. And through the blood of Jesus Christ, I will achieve that goal. And so I deliver to you the message being delivered was the one received by the Apostle Paul himself, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to Scripture." Not according to the eyes of man or the mind of man or people's opinions and views. According to the Holy Word of God, the inspired teaching. And that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12, referring to the fact that, listen, this has been witnessed by those who saw him after his resurrection. And after that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remained to the present, but some have fallen asleep. And after that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born in due time, or out of due time. The Apostle Paul says, "I am the least, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God." And this is what we are going to build our lives upon. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believe." You know, as you go through the passage, it continues on by saying, "Now, if Christ preached that he had been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were people who was questioning it. "Well, if there is no resurrection of dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty." In other words, take away the resurrection of our Lord, and it's over. It's over. Because we was told in teaching in the past by our God that a Saviour will come into this world. He will live. He will fulfil the law. He will die. He will be buried. And he will be resurrected. And if Christ is not risen, then we may as well go home. Yes. And we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of a God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Do you understand that? Without the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness of sins. We are not saved. He had to fulfill that task in order that we could have redemption and salvation. It says, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And you know, we remember this each week. And you know, it's interesting as well that this is not... We're not even told to remember the resurrection of Jesus on our communion. The communion is to remember the death, and, the death that he went through. But of course, it's all connected to the resurrection. That through his blood, through his sacrifice, through his giving of himself for each one of us, we have an eternal life. What are you building your lives on? What is your hope built upon? What do you wake up every day and it keeps you going? You wake up every day and you just think, well, I'm enjoying my life. I was talking to a brother the other day. He's not a brother anymore. He left the body of Christ. He left it. I spoke to him the other day. I said, how are you? He said, I'm having a great life. Everything's wonderful. I couldn't be happier. And he's left the body of Christ. How do you work that out? I'm telling you that basing your life upon this world, you will have your pleasure here. Enjoy it. Because when this world ends, it's over. There is no salvation. How can I stand here and tell you that without Christ in your life, you're going to make heaven? There is nowhere in the Bible that tells me that. Nowhere. I have to speak the truth. And so your lives need to be built on the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Build your lives on his grace towards you. You see, God's favor towards the unworthy. In other words, I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. But God says, I'm going to give you my grace. I say that though you don't deserve it, though you are not worthy of it, I am going to give you the benevolence of my love because I want you to have an eternal life. I want you to make heaven. And this grace is the heart of the Christian faith. Don't go thinking that you are not good enough for God because his grace says that you are. His grace says that you are unworthy, but I count you worthy. I always remember growing up and... there was a man each Sunday he would always pray and say, Lord, we are unworthy. We are unworthy. And I always remember my grandfather coming up and saying, well, technically in the eyes of God, we was worthy. We see ourselves unworthy because we are. When you think of the things that we have done with our lives, when you think of the time all the way back in Genesis when the freedom of choice was used to turn the back on God. Unworthy people. And God says, don't you worry, I will redeem you through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because I will send him down to this earth. And he will fulfill my teaching and die on a cross. And he will be buried in a tomb and he will be raised up again. And he will redeem you. And this is the foundation of our faith. This is the foundation of our life. Nowhere is this more clearly seen than at the cross of Jesus Christ. Nowhere will you see any example of grace that can replicate something like this. Not just something that we celebrate with a piece of chocolate once a year. or something that we just celebrate through tradition of man. God says, this is what I have done. This is how you remember. And I want you to build your life on that grace that the Son of God took on flesh. The Word became flesh. Jesus Christ walked on this earth. His feet were here. They stood on this ground and he breathed the same oxygen. And he walked through the same trees and he saw the same oceans and all the places that you see in the lands where we walk to this day are still there. Though they probably look different. He was here. He came down, he took on flesh, and the grace that was given through him, through that life that he lived on this earth, was to bring salvation to each and every one. There's not a person in this room that God does not want to have as one who receives his grace. He gives to all who are willing to receive. He gives his grace by teaching us how to live. You ever think about that? We often think about his grace and, you know, we didn't deserve. I mean, he took our punishment. He teaches us how to live. How do I live my life as a Christian? We're discussing so many topics at the moment through all our studies. Brother Gary on the Sunday, touching on incredible, important topics. What are these things? Teachings from the Word of God on how to live. We're looking at the fruit of the Spirit on the Wednesday class. The fruit of the Spirit, going through all those aspects of changes in our life to adapt our lives to live. That is his grace. He died on the cross. And you know, his grace just goes on forgiving. As a Christian, you can sin and you can go to him with a forgiving heart and a repentant heart, and he will forgive you. These images, brethren, of the cross of Jesus, these images of our Saviour hanging on a cross and shedding his blood for each one of us are images that we should never, ever forget. Imagine this. We talk about the grace of God. His death was for his enemies. In other words, Jesus died for his enemies. He didn't die. He died for the people who were against him. God's love is different than the natural human love. You know, it's easy to do things for people we like. It's easy to do things for. It's harder to do something for, you know, someone you don't really like. Someone who's really giving you a difficult time in life. God's love is special. God's love is when we're utterly unlovable, he shows his love. Utterly unlovable. There are times in your life when you may be just like that, utterly unlovable. And in the eyes of God, he looks down on mankind and he sees men who do nothing but abuse his name. A world that is blind to the truth. A world that is living like Sodom and Gomorrah. And he died for the unlovable. When Jesus died, he died for the ungodly, for sinners and for his enemies. Romans 5 tells us. Romans 5, 7 through 8. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person. Imagine that, a righteous person. You're going to die for that righteous person? Well, it says there, scarcely will somebody die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to die. But God shows his love for us that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we were utterly unlovable. We were the worst that we could ever be. And he hung on a cross. He even hung there for those who hit the nails. into his flesh. It's powerful. Do you know the death of Jesus purchased the people? He purchased the people. The death of Christ was effective in its purpose, and its goal was to purchase people for his possession. I always imagine that, you know, you're going around and you're having to buy back what was taken from you. Imagine owning something, owning a house. Somebody comes along and they take the house from you, and it's no longer your house, and you've lost it. And so what you do, you go and get what you have, and you go back and you purchase it back. You purchase back what belongs to you. His goal was to purchase the people that belong to him, to purchase them back for his own possession. John 6:36, this is Jesus talking. All that the Father gives to me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Why will he not cast them out? Because they belong to him. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing. Lose nothing. All that was taken from me, I will buy back through my blood. I will buy them back. Of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. If we say that Christ only purchased the opportunity for salvation for all men, we mess up the biblical teaching here, because such a meaning is nothing like that. He died for you and me to purchase us back. That's how precious you are to him, that he paid the price for you. And I find that amazing. You know, when you think about that, he values you. He puts a value on you. And he paid the price in order to get you back to him. The death of Jesus should have been our death. Jesus' death was a volunteer death. Imagine that. Volunteering. I'll go. Queuing up for the gallows. If one person will come forward and go to the gallows, I'll free everybody else. And so everybody's standing there and looking, and someone goes, well, I'll do it. Imagine that, volunteering your life. Jesus' death was volunteered. He died the death that was ours. And when you think of the death of Jesus, when you think of the crucifixion and the dreadful pain that he went through, and that should have been mine. That should have been for me. He bore the punishment that belonged to me. It was my punishment. Innocent. And he took that punishment for us. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Jesus himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. By his wounds. When you think of this picture, what does it make you think about yourself? How much of you do you want to give to God? You know, Brother Gary this morning mentioned, you know, in our baptism, when we give our lives to Christ, that isn't going to do it on its own. You think you're going to go in the water and say, I'm baptized, I'm all good? You've got to change your life. You've got to be a person that is now living for Christ. In other words, I'm giving myself to you. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Yes. You want to give your life to him? Yes. Do you want to be buried in baptism? Yes. And you go down into the water and you're buried in baptism and you come up receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. He, the Spirit of God, resides in you. And you are now walking your life in Jesus Christ. That will not be accomplished unless you give yourself to him. You see, he gave himself to me and you. When he went to the cross, he didn't do it half-heartedly and say, well, okay, I'll go so far, I'll carry the cross, but I'm not getting on it. He gave his commitment, his death in our place, and that is the ultimate example of what love means. And Jesus, what does he do? He calls those who follow to walk in the same kind of life. In other words, I've got to lay my life down. I've got to make some sacrifice. I've got to give things up. I've got to change my life to make eternal life. If you don't change your life, when this life ends, you won't make heaven. That is the truth. I can't deny you the truth. 1 John 3:16, by this we know the love, that he laid his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. This Christian life that we are living is a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. We have to change the way we're walking. Jesus' death is the death that forgives sin. And that death is the model of love, and that is the love that needs to be in our lives. That we are willing to give up. We are willing to sacrifice. We are willing to be able to do whatever we should need to do in order to fulfill the life that he wants to be seen in us. And I'll tell you why. And this is the concluding point. Because do you know that this death reconciles us to God? The death of Jesus reconciles us to God. In other words, we were not with him. We were departed from him. He's always there, but we depart from him. If you remember Adam and Eve in the garden, what did they do? They went and hid in the trees. They could hear God's feet coming. They could hear him. And he called out, where are you? Well, he knew exactly where they were. He knew where they were. He was trying to get them to examine their own lives and say, where are we? They should have stood there and said, we're in sin. We have failed our God. We have committed a sin against him, and we're standing here trying to hide our shame. And there he is in their midst, in their presence, calling them, where are you? The same question today. Where are you today? Where do you stand? You're hiding in the trees. When God calls, where are you? He's not saying, I don't know where you are. He knows exactly where you are. But he's waiting for you to examine your life. You see, the death of Jesus reconciled us. Justification and redemption are all the benefits of Jesus Christ's death. Because when we are separated from God through the blood of Christ, he brings us back to the place that we belong. Jesus' death enables us to have a joy-filled relationship with God. Do you ever get up in the morning feeling insecure? Or you ever go to bed at night and you're lying there insecure? Do you know why? I'll tell you why. You're too far away from God. Because if you're close enough to God, you have nothing to fear. You have nothing to worry about. Your life can end today and you'll be going to the promise. That is for sure. If you wake up in the morning and don't have those securities, you need to examine your life. Because there needs to be some changes. Because the benefits are in the death of Jesus Christ. And to have the confidence that we need to be in a confident relationship with him. And Jesus' death enables us to have a joy-filled relationship with God. Even if your house is falling apart, you're losing your work, you're out of money, you're struggling for something to eat, everything's falling apart around you. Your kids are misbehaving and you're struggling with everything when you're in Jesus Christ. You have a joy-filled relationship with God, who sees everything, knows everything, and fulfills everything. You know, just this year, we've had brethren stand before this congregation and bring thanks in prayer to God for things that God has done in their lives. You see, when we are in Christ, we are reconciled with Him. And this is only fulfilled through the blood of Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1. He says, "And you once were alienated and hostile in mind." That's Colossians 1:21. "You were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds." Why? Because you're not in the presence of God. He is now reconciled in His body of flesh by His death, in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before Him. That is the relationship that we have with our Saviour. I want you to think about how this works in our relationship with everybody around us. Christ died for you. Will you give your life to Him? Are you willing to change? If you're living a life of sin, are you willing to repent? In other words, I'm going to turn my life around. I was talking with, funny enough, this brother in the church. He surveyed all our surveyor's paperwork. He's an engineer in the Church of Christ. He built the Northampton Church building. He built the church building in Livingston. He designed it. He was the architect and the builder. Left the church. Left his wife. Left everything. Couldn't take the pressure. He was earning £150,000 a month easily. And he left everything. And he took it, in fact, Daniel and myself were talking about this yesterday. He took himself over to Spain. He bought a nightclub. It was a bar for homosexuals. He became an homosexual. He bought a nightclub. And he lived that way. He lived that way for 30 odd years. And during COVID, everything shut down. And he sat there empty. He had nothing. Nothing. And he came back to the UK. And he sat in his house in the UK on one Sunday morning when the church began. He walked in. And he walked to the front of the building that he designed and built. And he stood at the front. And he turned around and he said to the entire congregation, "I repent. I have sinned. I am the worst of the worst. I have turned my back on everything that matters, but I repent. And I'm going to change my life." And he denounced everything that was against the will of God. Everything. He got rid of all his finances. He got rid of all his properties. He got rid of all his lifestyles. And he changed. And that man is back in fellowship with the body of Christ. And the point is this. It's not too late to change. Because he is right with God. And if this world ends today, he will take his place. Because he understands the promise given to him. Romans 10 talks about faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We know these passages. God's word should affect you. And Mark 16 talks about believing the things that we hear. As Gary said, Brother Gary this morning, he can teach, but he can't get you to understand. It's down to you to take these things in. But do you believe that Jesus died for you? And unless you take him into your life, you will not inherit your eternal place in heaven. Luke 13 talks about this repentance in your life. You have to repent. In other words, I've got to change my life. This guy changed his life. He turned his life around. He was going in the wrong direction. But he realized, because he heard the word of God, he believed it. He needed to act upon it, and so he needed to repent from the sins that he was committing. And Philippians 2 talks about confessing Christ as Lord. He is my Saviour. Only Him. Nobody else. Only Him. And in Acts 2 verse 38 he talks about baptism. Total immersion. You know, the new church building we're buying has got a baptistry in it. I can't wait to fill that up. Because we want to see people's lives change. You need to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to be immersed in water, buried in water, for the forgiveness of your sins, that you might receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in Revelation 2, listen, it talks about living your life by continuing that walk with God. You see, I want to build my life on Jesus Christ. I want to build my life on the promises that He has given me. I want to build my life on the truth of His word. And remember that this eternal life that we have is through the promise of His word and through the truth that He reveals to each one of us. If you have not given your life to Jesus in baptism, if you have not done any of these things, then let me encourage you to do that today. We can help you do that. We've got access to a baptistry, we can do it. Let me encourage you. Don't build your life on the hopes of the world. Don't build your life. Remember, we have the freedom of choice. Just like Adam and Eve, you can choose. Just as those who have become Christians and left the body, that was the choice. Just as those who are outside the body choose to come to Christ, that's their choice. You have a choice today, and I pray that you choose Jesus Christ, your Saviour, because He came down to this earth. He became flesh. He lived. He died. He was buried. And He was resurrected. And He did that because of the love and grace of our God in heaven who saves. You are worthy. So I have the invitation.
Amen.